Reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This show is brought to you by Doghouse Systems, who make some of the most powerful gaming PCs on the planet. And I can say from personal experience that they have awesome customer service. Use the code MMOReporter at doghousesystems.com and get a free 120GB SSD. And by Audible, the best audiobook service in existence. Seriously, if you like stories at all, you've got to check Audible out. Go to audibletrial.com/MMOReporter and get a free 1 month trial and a free audiobook. Those ads help cover our server costs for the show, but if you'd like to directly support this show and the nice people who make it, you can go to gamediplomat.com/donate and show us some love. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to episode 65 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I am your host, Josh Augustine, and this week I am joined by a new co-host, Rob May from Velen's Chosen Podcast. Hello, Rob.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good myself. Just got done playing some Heroes matches with the new hero, Li Ming, and she is broken as I'll get out.
Really broken? I assume you mean overpowered,
in a good way.
Right?
Yeah, in a good way. She's very okay. Strong.
So she's like, what is she? She's from Diablo 2 or something, right?
Yes. Yes, she is from Diablo 3, actually, I believe. She's a new hero. She basically represents the sorceress class.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Nice. So what was her coolest ability?
I think her coolest ability is actually her passive. Like, every time you kill somebody, all of your abilities are reset, so you can use them all again.
What? Okay, that's crazy for team fights. Just go ham.
Yeah, yeah, and she just has so much burst potential. Like, you can just delete people, and it's not limited to single target like a Nova or a Zeratul.
That sounds terrifying.
It is absolutely terrifying, but she is a straight-up glass cannon, so if you basically get two people on her, she's toast, or even one person.
Interesting. That sounds really fun. Yeah, man, I haven't played Heroes of the Storm in several months. I think I need to get back in there.
Yeah, once I found out about the new formats, which we'll be getting to today, I was like, well, I don't need to be playing Hearthstone right now.
Take a little break until that comes out.
Yeah.
All right. So I already mentioned you're from Velen's Chosen Podcast. That's a podcast you started up this year? Last year? Obviously last year.
We started in September of 2015.
Okay, so what is that all about?
Okay, so the I guess the elevator pitch is the whole premise for the show is to tailor our show to help new and experienced players with intermediate advice and strategies to get them to the point where every month they're getting better at the game, whether it be reflected in their ranks or in their gameplay. And we do that, all of that is geared towards not just improving, but improving on a budget. So if you are limited in your financial investment in the game, whether that be willfully, like you just don't want to spend any money, or whether that be like you're actually just like poor as dirt and you like the game because it's free, you know, whatever. So we try to take people's budgets in mind as much as we can and try to provide them meta decks on a budget and try to like tell them not just what the most optimum deck is, because you can find those very easily online, but what are the cards that you can actually end up swapping in and out of your deck that can make it suboptimal, but really close to what the top tier would be?
Very cool. So is it like each week is a different deck, or how do you do it?
So the general scope of the show is usually we just do introductions, and we actually spend a sizable amount of time discussing our individual metas, like where we're at. So it's something a lot of shows kind of cover, but more casually. I think we do it a little bit more on purpose than most podcasts. Kind of just describe like the depth of what we were seeing. We all track our games on Trackobot and kind of talk through like our last 10 games usually. So we do that at the top of the show, then we move into a discount deck of the week, and we kind of discuss what we've all at least played around 2 to 5 games with the deck the week before, and one of us will have played between 10 and 50 games of the deck before we start. So, like, one of the weeks we talked through Aggro Shaman, and I had played, like, 15 games with it and was doing really well with it, and it was really good. And then we did, like, Zoo Warlock, which is, like, 125 dust or something crazy if you have the adventures.
Yeah.
So, after easy. Yeah. After those decks, then we would go into the meta and, like, the news of, like, what we're seeing. We have guests on the show quite a quite often. We've actually had some pretty notable guests. We have had Noxious. We've had Cora Giorgio, or CG Songbird from Vicious Syndicate. She's a professional player that just got asked to go on that casting call that she won, I guess. So she's the co-host of Coin Concede. We've actually just scheduled for next week. Not this Friday, but next Friday we're going to have D2, who is a Japanese pro player. He's very good. So we talk a lot about different things. I'd say the show is generally centric around one key topic. And we've done a series on dusting cards. We've done a series on what cards to be crafting when you're starting. We've done a series of like just general strategies like mulligan and like how to reach legend, like just mentality things. So Very cool. That's kind of like the biggest scope I could probably give for you.
Okay. So if people are liking what you're saying about your show, where can they go find it? If they're like, I'm out of Happy Hearthstone, I'm done, they just shut down this episode, where can they go find you?
Well, please at least give me a little bit more listen with Josh's podcast here if you're hearing me here for the first time. Finish this episode first. And then, we're on Twitter. We're on RSS feed, so you can get us on Pocket Cast. You can find us. It's just Velen's Chosen Podcast, and it's just like the card from GVG. It's a priest card. And if you want to find us on Twitter, we're Velen's Podcast. Our website is velenschosen.com. It'll reroute you to a Posthaven website. And then we have a live show every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern, and that is on twitch.tv/notrobmay, which is my personal stream.
But it's not you, so it can't be.
Exactly. I've had some really fun banters in Twitch chat with my stream. It's been really interesting. But yeah, that's a quick lowdown. We're pretty much anything and everything you'd want to see, we're on it. So
I got to ask, why Velen's Chosen?
So that's really funny that you asked that, because we were just on Roe, who is a host of Realm Maintenance, who's like featuring a bunch of podcasts every once in a while, and he decided that he wanted to do ours. So I thought that was pretty cool, and we told him, we're like, well, we did a lot of brainstorming. We're like, what is the premise of the show? What do we want to accomplish? And what cards best represent that to kind of gear us there? And then we knocked it down to about two or three different ones, and then we kind of just went with this one because Priest is the most gracious of all of the classes. It is one that empowers its minions the most.
Mm-hmm.
And Velen's Chosen is arguably one of the best buff cards in the game aside from Blessing of Kings. And Velen's Chosen just seemed right. Like, we're not just giving you a little bit of attack. We're giving you a little bit of health so you're more durable for the ladder. And we're giving you some spell damage in case you want to do that. So,
I like it. I guess it would actually be kind of creepy if your podcast was named, like, Mind Blast or something like that.
That would be a really dope name, though.
It is a pretty cool name. Yeah. The art is terrifying, though.
Right. So, even though we're Velen's Chosen podcast, we do a lot of imagery around Velen. So, we call our the people that listen to the show visionaries, and we quote Tolkien's quote that Velen uses all the time. And yeah.
That's awesome. So we're going to be talking about a lot more podcasts today. That's kind of the topic of the show, which is awesome. Before we get more into that, let's talk about why we're happy. Why are you happy, Rob?
Well, for starters, we just started doing a live show like 3 weeks ago, and it's been going really well despite a few technical difficulty hiccups here and there, but I'm really pleased with how all the art that I've been able to produce. I was working really hard on it, and it's paying off. It looks great.
That's awesome. I know, so I have to apologize. I'm not going to show up for your live stream because that's 8 a.m. on Friday. I'm probably really still sleeping, if I'm being honest. Yeah. But that is really cool.
We're on YouTube, so you can always catch the live show there.
Okay, there
and,
you go.
We have the VODs up every week. I'll make sure I make a highlight. So everything's basically really fast turnaround time within 3 hours within 5 hours of the show going live. It'll be recorded and posted everywhere.
Nice, that's awesome. So I am happy that my son is great and healthy. Rob, have you ever seen Steel Magnolias?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so it's this movie. It was made into a movie in like the 70s or something with Dolly Parton. I vaguely knew about it, but my wife is a theater teacher for high school, and they put on this show this weekend, so I went to go see it. Mm-hmm. And spoilers for a movie 30 years old, like the child dies in it.
Oh, sad.
And it was like I was just destroyed. And now because like my son is like a year and a half now. Now, like any movie or play with parent stuff in it just makes me cry now.
There's a vice grip on your emotions.
Yeah, it does. Now, like, all I could think is like, thank God my son isn't dying of diabetes at 16 or whatever happens to the kid in that movie. It's just like awful.
That's so funny.
I am glad that my son is alive.
Yeah.
And that's enough for now. There you go. If you want to cry, parents out there, Steel Magnolias. Intense stuff. All right. But let's jump into news, because we're actually going to have a huge news segment, which we don't really do on this show very much.
But this important
news. This news is too big to not talk about, right?
This is the biggest news Hearthstone has had since Naxxramas.
Yeah. Maybe even bigger than Naxxramas. I don't know. It is destroying Naxxramas. What? So, quick rundown.
I know. Who knew the only people to destroy Naxxramas would be Blizzard?
Would be Blizzard. So, you guys probably know how this works, but I'm just going to give a quick rundown, and then we'll jump more into it. So, they announced Wild Mode and Normal Mode. So the current game that we play now is basically going to be Wild Mode, which is you can play any cards ever made whenever you want. Totally cool. What they're adding now is Standard Mode, which if you're familiar with Magic, you kind of know how this works. In this mode, you can only use cards released in the current calendar year and the previous calendar year. So right now, you can only play cards made in January 1st, 2015 and forward. And this will be in ranked, casual, and friendly challenges. But on top of that, you can always use the basic and classic cards, which are the cards you start out with free and the cards in the basic or in the classic pack.
That's correct. All
right. So this is pretty crazy. People have always talked about, like, there's so many cards. How are new players going to get into the game? How's Blizzard going to solve this?
And budget players, yeah.
And budget players, yeah. When it's suddenly like, hey, everybody needs 30 legendaries in their deck. Just take the best legendary from every set and put it in your deck, right?
Well, Crypt did that. And yeah. That was amazing.
Yeah, he actually did pretty well with it, too. But I think there's just some people that can do pretty well with just about any deck, I think.
Yeah.
So the other interesting things about this is the content, right? The sets, expansions, and adventures, when they leave standard, they're going to be removed from the shop. So if you've already purchased it, don't worry. You can use it forever. But new players that come in, they won't be able to play Naxxramas, right? They won't be able to buy Goblins versus Gnome packs.
Right, and important to note that Josh is going to get to is just that they're not walled off completely.
Yeah.
So it just is, it's a very, it's not like the Berlin Wall. Like, you're not getting, like, completely denied access to all of this stuff. Like, they're giving you a lot of provisions, but what Blizzard is doing right now is they're basically hard funneling you, if you're a new player or if you're a budget player, at the moment that Standard launches, into the new Standard.
Yeah.
Because they believe that this is the best way to go for the card games, the healthiest path, and is also not only the healthiest path for the game as a whole, but in order to progress forward, this is the best way for them to preserve their competitive scene.
Yeah, and it makes a lot of sense. And it kind of explains a little bit why they never nerfed stuff like Dr. Boom that people thought maybe was too strong. And people were even like demanding nerfs for a while. But it's kind of like, it's not as big of a deal now because it's going to drop out of the, you can't use it in standard. It's dropping out of the meta. So it's okay if it's a little overtuned.
Well, I mean, that's a hot topic in my court. I think that Dr. Boom is pretty balanced as far as I'm concerned. The problem wasn't Dr. Boom. The problem was that Blizzard has a lack of 7 drops that were viable to the same power level.
Sure.
So when you have a best in slot, quote unquote, in any card, you're going to see it all the time. There's a very good example of that in Lotheb, Azure Drake, and Sludge Belcher. They rule the meta because they're just the best cards that you have offered in that slot, not because they're legendary or not.
Yeah. So, to clarify, Naxxramas is going to be going away. Goblins versus Gnomes will be going away. So mech decks just won't be a thing in standard.
There's
but
only
staying,
like 3 mechs or 4 mechs, including Demolisher, right? It's like Demolisher, Clockwork Knight.
No, Clockwork Knight is new.
TGT, yeah.
So yeah.
Clockwork Knight's sticking around.
Oh, you're right.
Demolisher sticking around. Not Fel Reaper. What's the little guy? Harvest Golem and Gorillabot. Those are the only 4 mechs I think left.
Wow. Yeah. Poor little Gorillabot. His whole job was to work with other mechs, and now he's left all alone.
Yeah, I think Blizzard knows the tribe's going away. They'll bolster it. Probably they'll probably release right around 200 cards. That's my hunch.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So the things that are staying, though, are the Basic, the Classic, Grand Tournament, and then all the Blackrock Mountain and League of Explorers. So, I mean, we still got plenty of cards to work with. And this is just the start of the year, and then everything else that releases this year also goes in there, too.
Yeah, that's something that a lot of players were encouraging on our last show. We were discussing this exact topic, Andrew, with my co-host Andrew and Eve. We're just like, a lot of players are only seeing the moment that Blizzard says, we're taking away what's happening, and they're not seeing the light of what they're giving, because they said, we're giving you something, but they hold back what exactly that is.
Yeah.
So, they're taking right around 175 unique cards away from us, probably between that and 200 cards we're losing, but we're also gaining at least 125 back.
Yeah,
at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, this is a one-time thing, right? Where we get ambushed and surprised by this. Going forward, I completely agree with Blizzard. This is good for the health of the game. It's going to make the game more dynamic, more interesting over time.
Totally.
This is a great change. It's just like, they had to tear off the Band-Aid, and it's not pleasant, but it's just going to happen once, and it's going to be great moving forward. I think people will really come around to this in the long run.
Yeah. So, Josh, what do you think is like the most unique thing about how they're going about this as opposed to like another card game?
Most unique thing.
Like, you know how... Have you ever played Magic? Like,
Yeah.
So, like, how does Magic do it?
Magic does it extremely similarly. It's basically the last three blocks, so essentially the last 3 years, or maybe, sorry, it's six,
it's like
sets?
two and a half.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, because the summer, yeah,
it's like, so it's really like weird how MTG does it, but it is like two and a half.
Yeah, you're right.
But they have a lot more cards and a lot more archetypes, and
yeah, so the most interesting so far, I guess, the different way, and Blizzard I don't think has said one way or the other. Okay. But Magic does a lot of reprints.
Yeah.
And so they'll print essentially stuff like Mage's Fireball, right?
It's
which like is kind of core
set, right?
Yeah, it's a core part of that class. They'll print that sort of card over and over in sets because that color needs that sort of spell because it's their identity. So keeping the Classic and Basic cards in always is a really clever way, I think, to...
It's essentially doing the same thing.
Yeah, but you don't have to pretend to be excited about the same card when it's released 20 times in a row, right?
Right.
Because the Magic releases a lot of sets, but X number of those are reprints, so it's not really the same thing. I like the idea of just like, hey, mages have Fireball. Mages are always going to have Fireball. Let's worry about everything else.
But the interesting thing about what's different to me was twofold, because this is where they're funneling new players to go in order to get their cards. And budget players that have already existed in the game are like, well, I'm going to dust all of Naxxramas and fill out everything I have missing in my Basic set. Like, right now, I'm only missing two of the Basic cards, but
yeah,
I just don't need them. Like, I need that set, and I want to hold on to what's there. But the interesting thing is, not only are they funneling people to get there first, and they're still giving you the Tavern Brawl packs, and they're still giving you the Watch and Learn packs, and... Yeah. They're doing that, but the identity of all of the classes isn't just preserved. They're preserving a chunk of neutral cards, and that's something that they've never done in Magic.
Yeah, that is very true.
Because Magic has everything that's about the tribes.
Although, to be fair, there's always stuff like a bear, a 3-3 bear, a 2-3 for 2. Like, that stuff is pretty common. They just reprint it over and over again.
Well, sure, to a certain extent, I would agree with you, but they're, like, within the rares and the epics and the legendary slots of having neutral stuff that preserves through time, like Illidan and Ragnaros, or...
That's true, those are very
Big Game
unique.
Hunter and Molten Giant, like, those cards, they have to do a swift, like, rebalancing, like, even on the Force of Nature Savage Roar combo that everybody's been uproar about that is anywhere past rank 5 is just, like, upset at that combo.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things they mentioned in that post is they're going to do a huge balance pass. They said, you know, we're only going to do this once, and we normally are very reserved with how we balance. We're going to do a whole pass on all of the classic cards and fix stuff. They called out Druid specifically as having
PC
classic cards that are too good. Yeah. Yeah, so, all right, so a couple other things you might have missed in the announcement. Standard is coming in spring. So that means not this month, but before the end of May. So between 1 and 3 months away. That's awesome.
I think it's definitely in a March thing. I think it's definitely in March.
Yeah, I would love that. That'd be awesome. That's like 3 weeks away. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think at worst case scenario, they're going to announce it in March. I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, sounds good to me. We're getting 18 total deck slots, so doubling. But hear me out on this, because I just realized this today. If I end up playing normal and wild, that doesn't actually really help me, because I need twice the number of deck slots anyways.
Yeah, that's one thing that a lot of the UI questions that we've had haven't really been answered yet. Is like, does that mean that you can just tab over a whole new page to 9 more slots regardless of what mode you have? Or are you switching the original 9 when you click to wild?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's one thing about the UI change is like, I'm not 100% sure if they're giving you another tab of 9 slots or if you only have 9 per mode. I know that when you go into the collection manager, it's just a scroll bar straight down.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But hey, at least they aren't giving us normal and wild and leaving us with 9 deck slots. This is at least better than that.
Yeah. I would have been happy with 1 deck slot more, to be honest.
Yeah.
I feel like I need that one more.
Yeah, because you're like trying 2 different versions of a build and you want both.
Or you have like 6 different mage decks because there's freaking a gazillion of them right now.
Yeah, no joke. I know. I finally trimmed down my warlock down to just 2. Warlock mage down to just 2. Spell mage and mech mage.
Oh, sad. You don't have a freeze one in there.
No, I hate playing against freeze mage so much that I refuse to play it. Like I just I feel like I'm making the game a worse game by playing that, so I refuse to. But that's just me. All right. So other things in there. Every year of standard will be named after a constellation. And the first year is called Year of the Kraken, which is interesting because that probably means that the next set, whatever they're announcing and releasing, has got to be underwater or nautical themed, right?
Well, the Year of the Kraken is a mythological animal in their Warcraft lore of the constellations there. It's not necessarily symbolic of what we're going to see because that's the year season. So it could represent the year season as like the first set. I could see
that. Has that ever actually been used in WoW? I've never seen that.
Well, it depends on how deep you go in the lore. I think there's a little bit of a link to it within Ulduar and whatever that guy's name is.
Bran Bronzebeard?
No, he's the guy in the very back. He threatens to basically wipe the face off of Azeroth.
Oh, the bad guy.
He's one of the bosses in Ulduar.
Yeah.
In the antechamber. I cannot remember his name.
I don't know, one of the Titans.
He's really cool. He basically, his whole body is basically a constellation, but all the constellations are in that room.
Okay. I don't know. I think I would be very surprised if the names didn't correlate to the sort of content they want to release.
I wouldn't put it past them, to be honest.
So I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to predict right now it's going to be Vashjir. And I'm saying that because there's actually a lot of Nagas in the game already, and they put some in the last set as well, which they've done in the past with stuff like mech.
Yeah, but the discontinuing Neptalon, that's my big catch 22.
Oh,
Neptalon is the ultimate enemy of Vashjir.
Oh, here you go. Reprint. Bam. They're just going to get a reprint done right
away.
Well,
honestly, I would be very excited if they reprinted Neptalon to be more useful than he currently is. He's already a pretty good card, but I would love him to be better.
Yeah. All right, so actually, Shaq News put up an interview with Ben Brode today, a follow-up interview that I thought was really interesting. I want to talk about a couple of...
Is this a follow-up on the PC Gamer interview?
Yeah.
That he had?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see this. Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's a sweet link in the show notes. We'll put it on the show notes for everyone to see as well. So this is where he talks about Druid Classic cards getting nerfed, saying that they're the ones in particular that they need to take care of. They said they're open to changing the plan if it doesn't work. Like, they are not sold on always having basic and classic cards in there. They said, like, if it doesn't work, they'll change that.
That's the beauty of a digital card game, I guess.
Yeah.
They can do whatever the heck they want.
Yeah, so it's cool to see them, because some developers, you know, will announce something and be like, this is the way it is. But it's cool for them to say, like, yeah, we're going to try it with Basic and Classic, and if it doesn't work, we'll change it. I think that's very reassuring to hear.
Yeah, I did know that Kibler was very outspoken as a streamer against this sort of thing. He says, I definitely 100% agree with Soul of the Card type business, but most of the issues he had with it were revolved around cards that were in the sets outside of the Soul of the Card in the neutral set.
Yeah.
So maybe the Classic set gets limited a little bit further or something. They have to do some sort of flexing with it. But
yeah, that was actually one of the things he talks about in this interview. He brings up Hogger as an example, where he says, like, hey, if for some reason — he doesn't think this about Hogger, but he said, right, if for some reason Hogger was too powerful, we could just push that into Wild. So it doesn't even have to be an all or anything. They may take some Classic cards and be like, hey, we just can't make this work. It's a Wild card now.
Yeah, so we basically have Blizzard telling us that they now have the flexibility in order to avoid nerfing cards. They can literally just ban them by throwing them in Wild. So yeah, that is a soft ban that Blizzard has basically instituted.
Yeah. So it's interesting. You brought up Kibler as well. Kibler mentioned, and Ben talks about it a bit more in the interview, how they're hosting a summit of pros and streamers to get their opinions on all these changes, and they may make changes based on the feedback they get there. So obviously, like you mentioned, Kibler's been super outspoken. I'm sure others have been very —
Josh, that was past tense. They did the summit before they made this announcement.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah, all of the verbiage is past tense.
Oh, okay. You're totally right.
Yeah, Kibler mentioned that in his thing. He said him and Strife Crow and a couple other people were out there at the summit recommending stuff. And the reason Kibler's opinion is so valid, for those of you that aren't familiar with his background, he's well known in the Magic the Gathering scene, not just for being the Dragon Master and all that, but he was actually a game designer for other card games and has been a consultant for other card games and stuff. So he's very well versed in the card game scene.
Yeah. So his opinion is well respected.
Yes,
and even Ben Brode in this interview talks about how Kibler made very good points and they talked about stuff for a long time. Mm-hmm. All right, last bonus fact in this interview, new heroes, quote, in the not too distant future.
Yeah, they've been saying that for like 3 months, though.
Hey, still, I'll take it. I'm excited. So, I don't think it'll be in this March update. It'll probably be somewhere in like the summer, right? That'll be the big hoopla. Mid standard year.
Yeah, I think they're gonna do what they did with the last time, is basically when there's a lull in the meta or when there's a lull in releases is when they're gonna drop it. That's when you have to.
Yeah, that makes sense.
An announcement. So there you go. Of announcement.
All right, so any parting thoughts on Standard Wild before we move on?
One thing I would say is don't dust anything yet. Hold on to your dust, keep racking up the gold. If you feel confident enough, hot into the arena and try to make some more gold. But other than that, I would start hoarding now.
Absolutely. And yeah, and definitely I wouldn't go out crafting too much stuff until they balance all the classic cards as well and decide which ones will stay in Wild, which ones don't. My brother was super sad. He, like 2 weeks ago, he just crafted Mal'Ganis so he could play the Dreadsteed deck.
Oh, the Danksteed.
Yeah.
Ponies.
And now all those cards are going away.
Well, he can still play with them. They're not going away entirely.
It's true. Yeah, some of the cards are going away.
He just won't be able to play it in Standard.
Yes, that's true. He can play it in Wild.
And he can still rank up in Wild. That was the craziest thing, is they have rank systems for both.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
BlizzCon points in Legend.
Yeah.
In Wild.
All right. So the other bit of news I want to talk about, actually, I watched the Red Bull Team Brawl tournament
this
weekend.
This is very cool.
Yeah. Did you watch it?
I watched the finals and I watched the first round draft.
Yeah. I mean, this is exactly the sort of tournament I've wanted for a while. So just to tell people how it works real fast, it's similar to a Magic Sealed format, but teams. So they started off, so it's teams of three. They started off opening 68 packs together, broken down between the classic cards and all the different expansion sets, a specific number of packs for each one.
Yeah, that actually includes basic cards or split from all of the others.
Yeah, so you got, I think, 10 of the basic packs.
I think you're right.
50 basic cards. So you get 340 cards total. Together, the three of you have to build three decks from the shared card pool. So if you opened Dr. Boom, you can only use them in one of the decks. You can't put them in all three. And then, so you have your three decks. Then you go off against other teams who have played that as well. And everyone on your team plays everyone on their team. And then they do all that, and then the teams with the highest number of total wins played
out
in
of
the
nine
finals.
Games, yeah.
Yeah. So it was
and they're
really
all the crazy
cool.
thing was they're playing all at the same time. So you get like you can like, hey guys, what do you think about this play? I'm gonna do this, and then other times they're just like autopilot and then they're gonna go help somebody else.
Yeah, they actually put a lot spend a lot of time on their comms, which I really liked, because a lot of times in tournaments, the casters will just talk the whole time, but they would just be like, all right, let's go see what Raynad and Firebat are talking about. And then they just go to their comms. You could hear them talking about like, okay, I'm going to do this. What do you think? No, I think you should do this. And it is really cool just to hear their thought process on all, on every little thing.
Yeah. And I think that this is basically giving you a sneak peek as to what's going on in their brain a little bit. And then not only that, but they like, if Hafu's there, Hafu will be like, I think I'm going to do this. And then somebody else would say something and she'd be like, really? You would do that? And she would, she always questions it, because she's like, not second guessing a professional opinion, but he's like, you need to give me the reasoning behind that, not just like, this is the best play. So
yeah, it was
really
good.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see people at that level, because obviously these are some of the best players. The four teams, just so people know, are Tempo Storm, which is Raynad's team, Team Archon, Cloud9, and Team Liquid.
Yep.
So I mean, they all had really good players there, and they didn't always agree.
Yeah,
like,
and even
most
the best decks were losing.
Yeah. Like, it was really cool to see that, like, even at that level, it's not 100% clear what you should do. There still can be a different play style or perspective and opinion.
Yeah,
and that
that's
sort of
the
stuff.
That's the beauty of sealed format slash, what's it called? Limited, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Or Arena. Arena's kind of the same way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was actually cool to see some of the old school cards that were in there. Like, one of my favorite moments, maybe as Firebat, I can't remember who, they're playing a Hunter, and they did the Scavenging Hyena Unleash the Hounds combo.
Oh,
like,
my word, that combo is so good.
Yeah, but I haven't seen that combo in like 2 years. But it was awesome. He buffed it up to 12 damage.
Yep.
Hit with him and Dr. Boom, did 22 damage in one turn.
Mini Gazrilla.
Yeah, it was super cool. And then Raynad brought out Brand Bronzebeard and Frost Wolf Warlords. So they get buffed twice.
That was amazing. He did it twice. That was the coolest play. And then the Frost Giants.
Yeah.
Frost Giants are cool too.
Yeah, it was really cool. And actually Excavated Evil, a card that Scott and I just tore apart on in our reviews.
And they got two of them in that deck that they ran.
Yeah, and even so in the finals they used different decks. Excavated Evil got a ton of play before the finals too. Like, I probably saw it played 15 times because it's AoE removal.
I mean,
and
if
when
you don't have Light Bomb and you don't have Nova, it's the only option.
Yeah, there was a the Priest deck they played didn't open either of those cards at all, which is just disappointing, right? But the cool, did you see on Team Liquid Dog's Oil Rogue deck?
Yeah, I heard that deck like did not perform well until like the finals, and then Dog was like ripping somebody in it, and then
it was the opposite. It went 8-0.
Oh my word.
At the start, because so all of is fun watching these decks, because none of them were perfect, because you can't get all the right cards.
But
Team Liquid opened every single card you needed for Oil Rogue. Like, legit, go on Hearthpwn.
Did they even
look up,
get the Thalnos and what was it?
No, you're right. So there was two cards missing that the Shoutcaster
pointed
out.
Van Cleef and Thalnos, probably.
Yep, those were the two. You're right.
Jeez.
Yeah,
played that deck tonight, like right before the show.
Yeah, like it was really funny listening to like the other team's comms when they're going through, and she, because like Hafu was like writing down, which is really
like,
smart.
This is a constructed?
Yeah, what was in the decks? And she's like, okay, two Blade Flurries, two this, and like looking at it, just to be like, my God, there's like nothing that he's missing.
Oh my word. Yeah, pulling two Tinker Sharp Sword Oils out of a bunch of CGG packs is really lucky.
Yeah, because I think you only got something like 10 or maybe 15.
And the new Oil Rogue list only runs one of them, so.
Yeah. It was crazy. So, so one thing I want to mention to people before we get going too far. So this was hosted by Red Bull. And Red Bull worked with Tempo Storm to actually build a sealed deck generator website. It's super fun. So
it's really laggy, so you have to kind of wait it out.
Was it really? It wasn't laggy for me at all.
Well, it was when it first came out, so it could have fixed it by now, but it's a little janky if you have a slower computer.
Okay.
It's all, I think it's all on Flash, so it's pretty tough and system demanding.
Okay. I must have gotten lucky. But highly recommend it. You can go through and it lists all the packs on the side, shows you how many of each you get, and then you open them all. It puts the card pool on the right. It's just really fun to try and figure out what decks you would build. I really hope people use this to do tournaments online. Because, I mean, you could...
It's really fun.
Yeah, you could do a mock, basically, sealed deck tournament with this. Yep.
Granted that you have all the cards you open.
Yeah, that's true.
when they open Nosdormu and Nyxia and Malygos.
Yeah. Dude,
that was ridiculous.
So you mentioned how they were talking, right? Because it was interesting. It was three people sitting side by side on the team. So they would often let the rope go all the way down so they could lean over and help their team, their teammate. One of the teams actually got Nosdormu and started playing it. And it was the best Nosdormu ever because suddenly that person couldn't help their teammates. Nobody could help them. They were basically cut off from the rest of their team because they just had to play so fast.
Yep.
It's super interesting because normally that card is just kind of obnoxious. But in this setting...
does have a little bit more disruption now that the overall turns are like way faster. But the downside to Nosdormu is you're paying the same amount of mana for a good body and a good effect, but you're also subject to the effect. So it's really tough. It would have been better if it would like extend your turn by 15 seconds and delete 15 seconds from their turn.
Oh my gosh.
That would be actually a very excellent card because then they have no time to react.
Dude, that's brutal.
Or even if they just left it normal turn for you or add 5 seconds or something simple and then subject your opponent to the change, there'd be no drawback for the card.
Yeah. Hey, but it's exciting to watch in the tournament for
Blizzard,
sure.
Blizzard, listen up. Make Nosdormu cool.
Make him crazy powerful.
He is the lord of time and space, and he is also a dragon. He deserves to be a good card.
That's true. I mean, in theory, he probably is one of the most powerful beings in the universe, you would think.
Yeah. Either that or just make Chromie into a card, because that would be awesome.
There you go. it'll have to be one of those cards that like change and transition or something. So she starts off in a little gnome Chromie and then turns into dragon Chromie. That'd be awesome.
Lol Dragon Chromie.
Yeah, Lol Dragon Chromie. All right, so we're going to put a link to the opening pack simulator. We'll also put a link to the tournament. I think it was like 8 hours long. I ended up watching almost all of it in one sitting.
Yeah, definitely catch the finals.
Yeah.
And then maybe try to catch one or two of the dog games. Because that was
I'll put a special timestamp to this one. Did you see Reynad and Firebat counting lethal damage? Did you hear about this at all?
Wait a second. Was this in the final matches?
No, it was during the... Okay, so it was one of their first matches. It was hilarious. So Firebat is playing Hunter, and he's putting down stuff and playing, and he's sitting there. His opponent is at 28 health, and he just played a bunch of stuff on the board. He's looking, and he's counting, and like he counts 5 times, and like first time he counts 30, then 26, then 29, and he's just like... Guys, I need help. Someone help me. Like, help count this. So they both start, like, Reynad and Hafu lean over and start counting. They're all counting. They're all getting different numbers.
Oh, gosh.
Until finally Reynad is like, it's 29. I'm sure it's 29. Go face. Go
and
29.
And then he misses lethal.
And he goes, and he gets 27 and leaves him at 1 health. And Firebat just starts laughing. Oh, it's 29 for sure, is it? But
he's really good at being bantering. Like,
yeah.
Oh, so funny.
So it was really fun to watch because none of them raged. Like, it would have actually gotten awkward if Firebat had gotten angry, right?
No, it was just but super casual event,
Yeah, they all start laughing about it, and they find out what happened was Firebat had played Leok that turn, but Reynad didn't know that, and he didn't notice the Z's, so he counted that as damage, and that's what happened.
Oh, so he missed out on the 2 damage with the Leok because he just played an animal companion. Okay.
Yeah, because he had just played it, and Reynad didn't know that because he was playing his own game, right, not watching Firebat all the time. But it was just the funniest moment where they all start laughing, and you could hear, I think it was Team Liquid on the other side, they start laughing too because they know what just happened.
Yeah. I think it I might have caught that, but I was at work. So I was kind of like multitasking.
Okay, so I'll put a timestamp to that because it was just fun to watch. Just to hear them all hitting different numbers. It's good to know that like pro players do that too sometimes, because I have definitely done that when like you're dragging the last couple minions and you're like, wait, this doesn't look right. Oh man. All right. So let's jump into the real topic, 40 minutes into the show. So this
won't
was
keep you too much longer, I promise.
Hey, people are having a good time. I can feel it right now. So Rob, you pitched this topic to me. Do you want to kind of introduce it, what it's all about?
Sure. So I pitched an original topic of just like why podcasts are super important in the community. Obviously, those of you listening to the show obviously are well aware of this topic. But if you need some convincing to listen to more shows other than Happy Hearthstone and maybe Angry Chicken or Womat, then maybe this show is for you. But Josh was like, I like the topic, but let's make it broader. Let's go to podcasting and streaming. So we're going to cover why the audio and the video mediums are important for progressing as a player.
And also, because this was also kind of important to me too, because I like convincing people it's important, but like you said, people were preaching to the choir. We're also going to walk through how to use which ones, and depending on what you want to do, which streams are good for that and which podcasts are good for that. So we're hoping that you can find at least a couple other podcasts or streams. Like if you're like my brother, I'll mention him because I was just talking with him yesterday and he's trying to figure out how to build constructed decks more. And like there are a couple podcasts in here that's like all they do. That's perfect for someone like him. So we want to help you find other shows that are good.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right. Take it away, Rob.
All right. So the first main thing is we're going to cover not necessarily my wheelhouse because I believe that these are really helpful and they're fun and I don't want to discount them. But I believe my passion is podcasting, and I know Josh's is there too. So we're going to cover streaming very quickly, and then we're going to move into the podcasting, okay? So, yeah. Josh, I'm going to try to get you interactive with what I'm saying too, because you're just as passionate as I am about this sort of thing. So
passionate. I'm pumping my arms in the air right now. I almost jumped, but that seems excessive. So
I might knock over your stand again, right?
That's true. I got to keep this mic safe.
All right, so streaming is the easiest and most identifiable type solutions for your play is they have over-the-shoulder experience. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. You just log into the website, watch them play the game, and you can even grab a VOD if it's a past stream. And somebody did an experience on Reddit where they would pause the stream every time somebody would draw a card and then say, this is what I would do, this. And if they don't do it in that order, you say agree or disagree on the play. And then
That's awesome.
And they would do the whole pro stream for two or three games. And then they would switch pros and then would show how much they agreed and disagreed with the plays. And you would be really surprised if you pause the streams at previous broadcasts instead of live. And you would be very surprised at how many plays you actually disagree with, because it was really hard for us to be completely honest with ourselves when we're watching somebody play. We're like, oh yeah, I would totally do that.
Of course I would do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So
as you see it winning. Yeah.
Right. So for that reason, the next one is a free teaching and coaching technique. So depending on who you're watching, you could get this teaching and the coaching aspect if you're watching somebody be coached. Smaller streams are typically the best ones to go to when they're not doing teaching, because they typically rechat more, they'll interact with you, they'll answer your questions, they'll help show you their decks, etc. And they may even do what they call Deck Doctor. This is something that Zalea of Team Archon and a previous or now free agent Firebat will be doing, is just Deck Doctors. So they take a donation, you send them your deck, and they will play it on stream, and they'll doctor it up and show you what cards and tips that you need to do to play.
That's
identify
really
weaknesses
cool.
of your decks. It's really great to serve the community. It's a great way to give back to people that are giving you donations when you don't really need them as a pro. So I really love that.
Yeah, really
Deck Doctor is something that my podcast actually tries to do every week by zeroing in on what people are sending us if they want to ask questions. So we Deck Doctored a Beast Druid a couple times. And then we also did, we do a discount deck of the week that I mentioned in the pre-show, or in the beginning of the show. We were talking about discount decks of the week. So we try to zero in on one that's good and then show you how to make it better.
That's really cool. So I got to ask about this Deck Doctor, because my first thought, I'm going to be the skeptic here.
Go for it.
Like, how many of these decks are truly unique? Like, are they just sending in half of an Oil Rogue deck and then they just turn it into an Oil Rogue deck?
No, typically they're more like, you get anything and everything from like a mirror. Let's see, it's like a mirror entity, like secrets mage, or something like that, where they're like centric around that. Plus, they added echoes. So they'll play the deck in a test run, one or two games, and then they'll say, okay, I noticed that the deck plays around these couple win conditions, but there's just too many different things going on. So we're going to zero in on one of these things, and we're going to take out the extra win condition and put something that synergizes with the main one.
Oh,
so they'll do
cool.
something like that. And then there's also one where they'll do like a Beast Hunter, or people would actually, even just a simple one was a Freeze Mage, where it was like similar to Fibonacci's list, where it's like Freeze Mage with Maligos. But mm-hmm. the list ran like, it was really heavy. It ran Maligos, Antonitus, Pyroblast, and Alexstrasza. So it was really top heavy.
Wow.
And he kind of like identified it. And he's like, well, I think if we remove the Alexstrasza, or not the Alexstrasza, the Pyroblast, and we put in a Sorcerer's Apprentice, we can effectively do the same thing with Emperor. So he pulled off a really, really crazy game, and it was really cool. And he ended up posting it to YouTube. But Firebat did an excellent job with that one.
Okay, very cool. That's awesome. So they're taking more like unique decks that people are trying to build.
I mean, they'll take everybody's deck, but they'll basically like, for the most part, people that submit the decks are either really trying to troll them and they actually do it really fun and they can make it work. And more often than not, you won't see a meta deck. So I've yet to see one where they were making one that was just, you know, straight meta.
That's really cool. All right, awesome. So, and don't worry about writing all these names down as well as we're going through, like Zalay and Firebat. It'll all be in the show notes, and wherever possible, I'll put in links to their Twitch channels or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, you can always tweet at Josh or myself, and we'll get back with you.
Yeah.
So, Josh, why don't you just let the people know what streams you've liked and what they helped you with?
Yeah. So I'm gonna do streams and podcasts. I'm tossing them in together.
Okay.
Honestly, the biggest thing for me has been tournaments, like watching the commentated tournaments.
Yeah.
Because I like watching streams. Like, I really like Kriparian or Kripar. I don't know how you pronounce his name.
Yeah.
Kriparian. Yeah. I really like his personality. He's quite funny. I really like how he analyzes decks and tries to build decks. Like, he was the first one I saw building a Dreadsteed deck and trying to make that work.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest thing for me has really been the tournaments. I really like watching the pro tournaments. I like the excitement and kind of the adrenaline and having, you know, contests on the line. But the shoutcasters are normally what have helped me most, because they're walking through and you can see, okay, they're playing this cool Freeze Mage deck I've seen before. But the shoutcasters are saying why they're playing certain cards, or why they're holding onto certain cards, or what they're expecting from the other player.
Yeah, and matchups, which is one of the biggest things I learned from shoutcasters, is like, that's one thing that I struggle the most with, is setting up a lineup and how to do banning and what the matchup is going to be like, if it's favorable or unfavorable or a coin flip.
Yeah, me too. Like, because to me, that's something that's just so hard to understand. Because I understand
the hardest thing in Hearthstone.
Yeah, I get deck building. I can look at a deck and be like, oh, obviously Hobgoblin doesn't work with anything here. That's fine. But like, understanding what other people are doing is so much harder.
Mm-hmm. And so, it's a twofold, like, I'll just interject one more moment.
Yeah.
But like, it's a twofold thing when you're trying to figure out what good decks are good. Like, it's really tough if you're not reading guides and doing your research and watching people or having people inform your opinion. Because the long of it is, you have to sit down with every single meta deck that's strong and play it 50 games and figure out what it's weak against and what it's good against.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, I know how to play the deck that I've been playing, and I know what it's good against and what it's bad against. And now I need to know all of the other decks that I was playing, what they're good against, what they're bad against. And then I have to build four decks around that. So,
man,
I can counter one deck.
That is a lot of playing.
Yeah, it's a lot of playing, but you know, pros have that much time to play, and they also have the favorites. So that's another thing that people go into consideration, is because you lack time, you can only practice so many of the decks. So you practice the ones that you have the best win rates with, and you ban accordingly.
Yep. So I'm going to bring up the Red Bull tournament one more time. Because I really hope that catches on, because just listening to the pros talk to each other, because that's the thing with streams, is they're usually, you get one person's opinion, and they're usually talking to the audience or talking to themselves. But getting to hear them discuss with each other was so cool. So I really hope we get to see more tournaments with that, where pros are actually discussing things. Actually, during the tournament, or during the team brawl, I forget who, one of the players on the teams on Cloud9 that got kicked out, actually went up to the shoutcasting desk and started shoutcasting with them so that they could provide insight, and that was really cool too.
Oh, okay.
And then the last one I'll bring up is Frid. Frid, he guested on the show 6 months ago or something. I forget when. But he brought a deck onto the show. He does Hearth Coach.
Yep.
Which is a really cool podcast. I really like listening to that one, where he basically walks through constructed decks with his friend Dan. And actually, he had Firebat on this week. I haven't listened to that episode yet.
They did. It was last week, yeah.
Or last week.
I had him on for a Freeze Mage list with Malagos.
Yeah, so I have to listen to that because that's awesome. But I really enjoy him and just his good stuff. Actually, I spend probably too much time at Hearthstone spectating him. I really like just watching because he's playing. The highest I've ever gotten him ranked is like 11 or something. But he's always up in Legend.
Okay.
And so I love just watching him play Legend and just seeing his choices and just watching him play has been really insightful. Even without commentary, I can kind of see what he's doing. So what about you? What are some of the shows that you've really liked and have helped you out?
Well, as of late, we just started like a couple episodes where we talked about Arena like back to back. And so I got really into Arena. I played like 25 Arena games in like 2 weeks or less.
Whoa.
And I just really love playing Arena. And in that 2 week period, I was able to get the highest Arena wins I've ever got, which was 10. And
nice.
So I got
congrats,
like 10
dude.
Wins. And then I got like, I went 3-3, which is really bad right after that. And then I went 0-3 with like a really god rogue deck. But the problem was I queued into three other decks that were just amazing. And I just lost really close games.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't feel bad going 0-3 because these other decks are just insane.
Yeah. There's no shame.
Like, I went
that.
Up against somebody that like played three Buccaneers for lethal on me. It was like amazing.
What?
It was so cool.
Yeah, at that point you're just impressed. Like,
yeah,
what?
Just like that was amazing. And then the next game I was like, okay, I'll just queue back into what I know, which is Mage, and then I got another 7 wins with Mage, and so I was able to like make a lot of gold over the last couple weeks, and so I've like kept that gold and not gone back in. But so for that reason, I will recommend educational Arena streams. So Kriparian, we've mentioned. Hafu, who is the best Arena player in the world statistically. And then you have Ratsma, which is also another player that's really good. And Adwicta, or A-D-W-C-T-A. He's also a podcast host for Lightforge Podcast with his co-host Merps. And then Guardsman Bob is your typical monotone, tea-loving Brit that loves playing Arena. And he does nothing but inform his chat. He's totally about describing what to do every single play. And he does Twitch drafts where he has a whole algorithm set up. So with every 15 seconds that they show the three cards, the Twitch chat will vote and it will auto pick each of his cards while he goes AFK
cool.
to make tea. And they'll come back and play a Twitch draft and actually get like 10 wins with it. Like, the guy's insane.
Because I'm sure the chat is picking the worst cards a lot of the time, too.
You'd be surprised. Sometimes they'll actually like be really informed because most of the people coming to a stream are there for educational reasons, so they're trying to improve. So over time, you get a lot more players there.
Interesting. That's cool.
And then for educational laddering, I would go first, if you're a newest player, I would go straight to Strifegro and straight to Trump because those guys are the best. They have most things for those type of players. And then I would probably go next to like intermediate advanced stuff to Savitz and Kibler and Firebat and Tice. Those guys are very informative. They're really laid back streamers. They always really have a good time and they're not always playing meta. And then the last guy that I would say is educational is your priest guy, is Zedalot. This guy is an EU guy. He does nothing but play priest. He gets legend every month and he only plays priest. So he's really, really interesting if you like playing priest.
Yeah, that's cool. I kind of like focusing on one class like that, especially early on, if you're for new players, if you are trying to like, okay, I want to get ranked, like
right.
just choose one class, one deck, and focus on getting good at that.
That's kind of what Strifecrow does. Is he actually like sits down and he says, okay, for the next 2 hours, I'm gonna play this deck, and then he'll swap, and then he'll upload these like on YouTube. So these guys are great for not just Twitch content, and then for podcasts, I tried to narrow it down because I would what you would call a podcast guru. Even though I don't listen to all the podcasts, I've at least listened to 2 to 3 episodes of pretty much every podcast that I've listed here.
Wait, except, so how many total podcasts do you think? How many podcast episodes of Hearthstone do you think you've listened to so far?
Well, I have basically been listening to The Angry Chicken since I started playing the game.
Okay.
Relatively speaking, because I used to be a really hardcore Instance listener before I quit playing WoW.
Yeah.
And I love Scott Johnson and Frog Pants stuff. Like, those guys are great.
Yeah.
But if I had to guesstimate, I'd probably say I've probably listened to at least 100.
All right. Dang.
I mean, I probably listened to close to 10 a week, so.
Yeah, that's a lot of podcasts, dude. Well done.
Yeah, I try to. It's not as easy as it sounds, and I don't know. Maybe it's closer to like five or six a week, but it's tough. I don't listen to even my own show. I just download it and preview it because I'm doing all the editing. But yeah, podcasts that I like the best. Again, this is personal taste. So for what it's worth, I'm very biased towards my own show. I really think that my show is one of the best ones that you can go to for learning the game, because I'm so passionate about teaching in general, and so are my co-hosts, that we put all of our effort into making that show excellent and worth your while. So Velen's Chosen, and then The Golden Wisp is what I go to for anything and everything on meta swings within the top tier of rank 5 to legend ladder. Like, those guys are up to snuff. I'm good friends with Alec. He's the main host, and Hunter. And that shows tremendous help. Especially if you can kind of sit down and dedicate your time to it instead of multitasking. Golden Wisp is well worth your while, and it's only 45 minutes usually. Well Met, which is Kevin Hovdestad, which is a new caster that Blizzard just talked to getting in. And then he's a high legend or a repeat legend player up to 4 times. And then you've got John and Eldorian. I cannot remember his other name, but those two guys are also on there. And Well Met is like, I think they do the best job at covering the news from 0 to 100, and then they also do a little bit of coverage on strategies and main things. So I feel like their personalities jive a little bit better with me than the Angry Chicken, but I do like the Angry Chicken. I just feel like everybody knows about it, so I don't want to put it in there.
Yeah.
And then the Lightforge. So Edwicta and Merps, the only one that's out there that's 100% dedicated towards Arena, so you might as well listen to it.
Whew, there you go. So, all right, so the next section, we've got the different roles of shows, and a lot of these shows are ones you just mentioned as well.
Yes.
So rather than reading through all of them, let's go through the different roles and just kind of mention what you're looking for in shows. Like, in general, what do these shows offer that actually help you get better at it?
Sure.
So for Arena, what exactly are they doing? Are they actually drafting live on the show and talking through their choices, or what do they do?
No, Lightforge, like I said earlier, is the only one that does this. Like, the only show that does anything about Arena, so they are the staple when it comes to this. Other shows will cover Arena in passing or as a subtopic of the show, but not for the whole thing. Arena will talk, these guys will actually talk about the draft, they'll talk about how important the coin is, they'll talk about specifics to the draft, like how important is it to have a one drop, they'll talk about specific sets of cards and why they're bad. Like,
so,
or why they're good. And then they'll zero in on the meta. Like, what is good in Arena? Like, Paladin, Mage, like, what class is good and why?
So when you said they're talking about the coin, are they just talking about the coin in general in Arena? Or, hey, if you're playing Priest, what do you do with the coin? That sort of thing.
They talk about how important the coin is based off of what class you're playing.
Okay.
And then based off of what you drafted. So, they're very advanced players. So even though they're really advanced, they try to put it into a plate where you can do it. And then after the show, they do a co-op Arena run together. And usually they'll get around 10 to 12 wins.
Oh, my gosh. Usually, you know, no big deal. Just getting 12 wins.
I mean, these guys are infinite Arena players is the term. So instead of saying a legend player, they're infinite Arena, which means they always go positive after 10 Arena runs. They're going to make all of their gold back and more.
That's awesome. All right, so the other thing people can look to get from these podcasts is getting better laddering, right? Ranked and standard. So you mentioned the Golden Wisp, your podcast, Hearth Coach as well.
Yep.
So what sorts of things, basically, like, if we're trying to sell the listeners on, like, hey, do you want this sort of thing to get better? Like, so I know you go through deck lists each week. Is that the big thing, just going through deck lists and trying to keep up with the meta, essentially?
Honestly, the whole show is geared towards whatever the topic is per show. That's the big thing.
Yeah.
Like, if we try to gear the show to be valuable no matter what you're coming for. if that makes any sense at all. It's hard to say. Like, we dedicated the last show to standard. We did one of them, like, how do you identify a good card or bad card to dust, like, when you're between stuff. What is the tier list of crafting cards if I want to play a certain class, you know, neutral card value. So we're actually going to have to redo all this when standard comes out, but we have three shows dedicated to that. We have one where it's like class cards part one, class cards part two. We also have a whole guide on how to beat all of the bosses in heroic for League of Explorers and how to do it the best you can on a budget, relatively speaking.
Okay, very cool. And so Golden Wisp here, you mentioned, is usually tournament play focused. Like, is this really a podcast for pros, essentially?
I mean, this is what the legend players go to listen to, as far as I'm concerned. Golden Wisp is high valued for legend meta and rank 5+. Basically, like, these guys will they'll also cover the tournament scene. They cover pro players and changes in teams a little bit, and they'll really gear it towards meta discussion and top tier decks and why they're good or what they recommend for the latter meta based off of what they've been seeing. And then they'll even talk about matchups and stuff within the tournament scene of, like, this setup of three decks or four decks is probably the most ideal to go into a tournament, and this is why, etc.
Okay, very cool. So another thing you can target for these podcasts is if you just want to get better as a new player, right? Because obviously stuff like Golden Wisp, it's just going to go over the head of most players. So you call it Hearthaholics, Legend of the Innkeeper. What is it that makes these shows better for new players? Is it just talking about just like card game strategies in general?
I put Hearthaholics here because they actually just closed their show last week, sadly. And I'm really good friends with both of the guys that started the show and the third guy that actually had to bow out early. But they have a 4 or 5 episode series on just terminology within Hearthstone, like from the basics to the advanced. And they did an absolutely phenomenal job with it. So, like, if you're looking for something just to learn the game and the fundamentals and get a down pat, like, go to that show and look those episodes up. Legend of the Innkeeper just got on a new player, a new co-host, like, 4 episodes ago. And they're, like, the casual crew, and they talk about Tavern Brawl and hanging out and having fun. So their goal orientation in the show is different, but they're trying to get it to the point where they're actually teaching players to become better. But it's hard when you're identifying yourself as a casual player and not a high skill player that you're able to pull along a new player to that level. Like, I feel like the best way to do it is to have a very good player sit down with somebody who's really bad instead of having somebody who's average sit down with somebody who's really bad.
Yeah. The trick is always finding
so much.
Yeah. The trick is always finding people that are really good but can explain it in a way that not good people can understand it.
And then Happy Hearthstone, like, your show, Josh, is great for anybody that's trying to learn anything about Hearthstone, right? Like, you have so many different topics and different guests coming in and out of the show that you're able to kind of tailor it to any and all audiences based off a topic.
Yeah, that's been my favorite part. Yeah, having people like you. What are you most passionate about? Come on and talk about it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's cool. So another category actually down here you have is casual hangout podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
That seems probably like kind of similar to like what you're saying Legend and the Innkeeper used to be. Is that basically like they're just talking about news, essentially?
I mean, these podcasts have a lot of banter. So I would say the casual hangout podcast should be supplemental to learning if that's your goal. But if your goal is just to listen to podcasts and fill time, if you're like a truck driver, I know people that are semi-truck drivers that love the game. And they just want to listen to podcasts and they ran out. Like, this is the best way to go.
Yeah. So
I'm not
actually
discounting what these guys are saying. I just think that they cover everything, like news, competitive scene stuff, full Hearthstone coverage. They fall into that category as well.
Yeah.
But they're just not up to snuff on any one thing. They just do what everyone else is doing, essentially.
Yeah. And so Rob put like 10 of them in this list. So we'll put links to all of them. So if you are a truck driver, don't worry. You will have audio content for the rest of your life with this list. Yeah. And I know a lot of people that really enjoy this format because they don't really care about learning necessarily. Like one of my buddies really likes Hearthstone, but doesn't really have a lot of friends that do. And so he really likes listening to podcasts because it's other nerds talking about a game that he loves.
Yeah. When you
lack
community, you want to find something that does have a community, and podcasts are great for that.
Yeah. And also, I mean, to go back to you starting live shows as well, a lot of these shows do live shows as well so that you can be in the chat if you aren't a truck driver, obviously. Yeah. Please don't do this if you're driving a large machine. Uh-huh. But it's a really great way to get connected in that community and get to know the people that are on the show and then also the other people in the community. And a lot of times, if the community is big enough, they'll start doing little events or little chat groups or whatever. It's a really fun way.
Yep. And even if you just want to stay informed, like we have a news and competitive scene. I'll just run through the names of these because I wanted to make sure that these were highlighted. But Angry Chicken, Well Met, and Value Town. Those are like the top three podcasts in the ratings right now. Like these guys are always topping charts. They got pro play. Value Town is Raynad's podcast for Tempo Storm. Like they just merged. Mm-hmm. And then Coin Concede, my friend, shout out to Kenny here. Him and I have been working together to try to get his show better and my show better together. But they used to have a really unique show and I really liked their dynamic. They had like somebody who's really casual, somebody who's middle competitive, not quite legend and hit legend once. And then you have Cora who's like legend 17 times. So like they have this really cool dynamic of the show.
Wow.
And then 1600 Dust is the best. I think it's like one of the best Hearthstone shows just because you can always add it to whatever your arsenal shows because they're always 20 minutes.
That is
so
nice.
So shout out to Spivey and Metuna and Chris and Matt. Like, I love those guys. Just being able to do a Hearthstone podcast in 20 minutes is just insane.
Yeah.
They do an excellent job at it.
Yeah, if you've never tried to do a podcast, it is really hard to stick to that mantra of 20 minutes no matter what. When people are having a great time and laughing, you gotta cut it off. It's hard. Yeah. Man,
they run a very tight show and it's really good content.
That's awesome.
And then Hero Power, Vestigious, and I can't remember these guys' names to save my life. I know Zerosho's on there. These guys have a really interesting banter and good old southern draw with a couple of their guys. So if you like more of the relaxed feel, they kind of keep their shows under 50 minutes usually. So they're still pretty good, and they like to highlight decks as well.
That's awesome.
But and then, these guys are all of your shows about news and competitive scene and Hearthstone coverage in full.
That's so if you want to hear more thoughts on wild and standard modes, I am sure all those shows have awesome episodes about that now.
Yeah, kind of your one-stop shop.
Yeah. So, again, we'll have all these links broken up into the categories. The last one here, Realm Maintenance, is obviously an awesome show.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned that earlier. So, that's where... So, Ro is the host there, and he basically brings on other podcast hosts who have a show in the Blizzard universe. So, either WoW, Heroes of the Storm, Hearthstone, Overwatch, Diablo, every week. And then...
And StarCraft, actually.
And StarCraft, you're right. Yeah. And he is just so good about promoting anyone in the community stuff. I know when Happy Hearthstone first got started, he brought me on his show and then he made sure to retweet and promote any of our episodes when they came out. He's just a really awesome guy that really loves building community.
Yeah, Ro's a rock star, and this guy is the most ambitious Blizzard universe player I've ever seen. He plays all of the Blizzard games and he set a bunch of goals this year to do better in everything. And so
wow,
shout out to him. He's trying to do so much stuff in Season 5 of Diablo. He's trying to play Overwatch. He's trying to get Hearthstone rank 5. He's trying to do Heroes and get to a certain rank there. He's trying to play WoW and get a certain boss down or get PvP gear. Like, the guy's insane.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you like today's episode at all, highly recommend checking out Realm Maintenance because he brings on a different guest host every week and talks about their show. So it's a really great way. It's almost like a yellow book of podcasts. You can just glance at who's on the show and if you think the topic's
it's a great
interesting
yellow pages. That's a good way to look at it.
And also, if we're being honest, Rob, let's be totally honest, sometimes like podcast hosts' voices or their speaking style is just kind of annoying, right? And it makes some of the shows hard to listen to, and this is
that's
a really good
true
way to go on and be like, oh, that person is eloquent, I really like the way they talk, I can understand what they're saying.
Yeah,
great.
There's definitely a rule of thumb. Not all people are for all people. So find the people you like to hang out with and hang out with them.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So awesome. So those are all the podcasts. We'll have it there. You have one last section here you want to go over.
Sure. This is something that I'd like to say on behalf of Josh here. But if you guys are ever wondering how do I support my show? Honestly, the number one way that you can support any show is just give them a 5-star review. You don't even have to say anything. They really appreciate it if you say something like subject line and say, hi, I like your show, bye.
Yeah.
And then you give them 5 stars. Like, that is the world to podcasters worldwide.
Yeah.
The second thing you can do is support them financially. That is the biggest boon to anybody, is to get paid for what they love to do. So Patreon, PayPal, donation buttons on Twitch, etc. My show has a Patreon. We just got 3 people supporting us. We're really excited.
Nice, because, dude. Congrats.
It's not much, but it is something, and it does pay a little bit of our bills, so it's really nice.
And man, I remember, so I set up my Patreon at the start of last year. Mm-hmm. Like, the first few emails that come in, like, your whole heart just explodes. You're just so happy and excited. Yeah, it's so cool.
Yep. The other thing you can do is simply just send emails in. It gives us content. Like, I've actually had a whole show idea from somebody's email before, and it's just, it's really, really helpful, especially when there's lulls and you're like, man, I wonder what's going to happen. What do you guys think it's going to happen? Like, if you send us an email, that's really good fuel for the fire. It helps us fill time if we're lost.
And hey, if you send an email to me, I'll sweet talk you into coming on the show. So
yeah, like we do that. We won't do that on my show because we like to get people to donate money for that sort of thing. But
yeah,
but yeah, that's another thing. Another really weird thing that is interesting is actually listening to the entirety of the show. I know that our show, we were struggling. I was struggling to see why people stopped listening after 40 minutes. And I finally realized that we didn't have enough content past that marker because we'd always hit kind of a lull in conversation. And then we would hit, like, where do you find us? Excuse me. Where do you find us? Like, where do you find the show? What can you do to help us? People get bored with that sort of thing. So what I did is I started adding a post-show bloopers. And then I add a couple sound bites that I'll add in there. So gives a little Easter egg for people to hang out and have fun with.
That's cool.
So a little spoiler for my show. Maybe you do that, Josh. I don't know. I've only listened to like 4 or 5 of your shows. So
I do bloopers every now and then. Not all the time. Because not all the time. I mean, like tonight, we're just recording this show straight through. There really are no bloopers.
Right. So usually just kind of we keep the show recording in the pre-show. We just say, hey, we'll just hit record and go. And we'll talk through, and then we'll clap when we're like we're ready to cut into the real show, and then we'll clap at the end and say we're clear and just keep hanging out for 5-10 minutes.
Hey Rob, I'm gonna put you on the spot. After we're done recording, I need you to say something super embarrassing, and we'll use that as the blooper. How about
perfect,
that?
Perfect, perfect.
Awesome.
I got it for you. I got you, man.
Good man.
All right. And then at the end of the show, there'll be nothing.
Yeah.
All right.
Just keep waiting.
Yep. And the other thing you can do is just simply follow and interact with people on Twitter specifically. I know it sounds really weird, but Twitter is the one social media source that I feel like everybody in the Hearthstone community at large is located and interacting, and the conversation is always going. So just use Twitter. And then last is just talk about the show with other people. It's really weird to find you in that community. It's kind of like talking about a taboo topic like politics or religion in like the wrong setting or going to the hood and like talking about drugs. Like, it's just something you don't normally do, right? But if you do talk about shows, it's really good to say, hey, I like Hearthstone. Do you listen to any podcasts? Like, that's a good segue into sharing our shows with other people and say, hey, this has benefited me a lot. I think that's it for me.
Yeah, those are all support. Great. Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with all those. I think they're awesome.
Sure.
All right, let's jump into the community section.
Sure.
All right, so my brother, because nobody sent in a question, so I made my brother send me a question like an hour ago.
That's perfect.
So for someone who is limited on time, like a dad in a young family, which he happens to be, so he's not asking for a friend, even though he words it that way. He says, which resources would you recommend most for keeping tabs on the meta and building decks for ranked? So it sounds like, I guess the Golden Wisp is probably too high level, right?
I would say you want to figure out what your meta is and then look at it.
Okay. How do you do that?
Like, the basic meta snapshot is ranks 25 to 20, ranks 20 to 15, ranks 15 to 5, and then ranks 5 to legend, and then legend. So that's the only difference is basically every 5 ranks, and then 15 to 10 is kind of the same as 10 to 5. It's just a little bit more competitive.
Yeah.
You could even argue it's 25 to 15, but there's a huge jump between the 25 ranks past your card back.
Yeah. And okay, 15. So what would you do for the 25 to 15? What would you recommend?
25 to 15, depending on your goals. Like, my show always talks about that. What goals do you have in the game? Is your goal to have fun and enjoy interactive and ridiculous decks, right? Or is your game plan, I want my rank 10 chest, I want all of those goodies in it. Or I
so
want rank 5.
Speaking for my brother, since I actually know, his goal, he's never hit rank 15 before. Mm-hmm. And he really wants to try and hit rank 15 so he can get that chest.
Okay, so I would say you probably should just listen to my show, because that, I know it's like shameless plug. Oh my gosh, this guy's a noob. But I mean, that's what my show is geared towards, is getting people from rank 25 to 10. Like, I believe every single player that has a decent size collection can hit 15 in a couple of hours. I don't think that I hit rank 15 the first day I made an EU account.
Yeah.
So I just basically made a really fast Flood Paladin list and opened a bunch of packs through freebies and getting all my classes up to level 20. So once I hit level 20 with all my stuff, I already dusted a bunch of cards that were crap. I made some more in Paladin, like Muster and Minibot, and then I hit ranked and I win streak to 15 in like 9 games.
Okay, so this may be outside of your specialty, but is there like a blog or anything as well? Like, say someone for whatever reason doesn't want to listen to a bunch of podcasts. Sure. Is there something they can read?
Yeah, absolutely. Vicious Syndicate Gaming is the website that I work for. They have a professional team and they do articles all the time. Hearthpwn is a great resource for finding fun decks and high ranking decks. Streaming, if you don't want to watch the stream, you can actually go into the description and find people's deck lists. Or a command you can type into the chat, and it will give you the deck list they're currently playing or where all of the deck lists are located. The best one-stop shop type place is actually going to be tempostorm.com, and you go to their meta snapshot. You'll be able to find what the top-rated decks are for that, you know, two-week period, roughly, and why they're good, what deck substitutions you can make, but they're not going to help you when it comes to substituting cards that you're missing. They're telling you what the most optimized deck is. So you kind of have to fill in the gaps and look for the deck archetypes there and the general scope, and then go to Hearthpwn or Hearthhead.com and look for places where you can fill in those gaps with valuable cards. And then the next step would be going back to Twitter, interacting with your podcast people, and say, hey, I have this deck list. Email the show. We'll talk about it. If you can't, if you'd rather just get your answer in email, just say so, and we'll probably help you.
Yeah, that's really cool. And hey, if you get super desperate, what was it? Oh, the deck doctors you're talking about.
Yeah, you can pay a little bit of money to like Fire Batter's Delay stream when they're streaming, and if you're lucky around to sit around while they're streaming, they'll deck doctor your deck for you.
That's really cool. Awesome. And the other thing, which you didn't mention, actually, my brother and I play games once a week, and this week I'm going to sit on Skype with him, and we're going to screen share, and we're going to talk through games and try and get there together.
Awesome. Sounds great.
Yeah, I'm excited. All right, so iTunes reviews, which Rob mentioned, are so important. The number one way to support podcasts, we had none.
Oh, sad.
Sad days. So you can go to iTunes, leave us a review. That would be awesome. We'll read any 5-star reviews on the show. Try not to make it horribly racist or profane.
Man, the worst thing about iTunes reviews is you can't leave them more than once.
Yeah. And actually, hold on. Rob, you made me bring this. You reminded me.
Oh, no. What did I do?
So I can't remember their name right now. Someone left a podcast or a review exactly a year ago that was a 2-star review. Oh, and they said, if you start doing at least one episode a month, because I took a break for a while when my son was born.
Right.
So during that break, I took like 6 months. No, I took like maybe 3 months off or something like that. I don't remember.
Whoa.
But he wrote, it was like, if you actually start doing this again, I'll come back and change my rating.
Oh, nice.
And it's been a year, my friend, and I've done several episodes a month, and he hasn't changed it yet. So
probably doesn't listen anymore, sadly.
I know. He bailed. That's all right. All right. So if you want to donate more directly, you can go to gamediplomat.com/donate. Find all the cool stuff there. Let's sing a Card of the Week song, Rob. What do you think?
Mm.
So are you familiar with the Card of the Week song?
I am, but all of the Card of the Week songs that I've heard on your show are people like making them up. So I don't know if there's like a set jingle that I need to be defaulting to.
No, you can do literally anything as long as it has the words Card of the Week in it.
Okay. Let's see if I can audible this for you.
I believe in you.
It's the Card of the Week. Azure Drake is the Card of the Week. So... go Dragons.
I love it. It's awesome. It's part pep rally. And actually, Rob, I don't know if anyone's actually put the card name into the song yet. So that's you're breaking new ground. Yeah, they're trying to keep it generic or something. I like your emphasis. You went all in.
I mean,
I love it.
I mean, I have two of these in golden, so I have to go all in. Right?
All right, so why don't you tell people who may not remember what that card is?
All right, so Azure Drake, again, I know that the show has been kind of defaulting back to basic cards, but classic cards lately. Mm-hmm. But this is one of the most critical classic cards that you can have in your collection.
Yeah.
It is a 5-mana dragon synergistic card that has 4 attack and 4 health with the battle cry of draw card. And then its side persisting effect is +1 spell damage. This card is used in, I believe, every Oil Rogue variant. It's also used in Miracle Rogue. It's used in... let's see if I can rattle off a bunch of decks here. It's used in almost every single Mage deck, except for Freeze Mage. It's used in Dragon Priest, Dragon Warrior, some Fatigue Warriors. It's used in... every Shaman deck except for Burn.
Yeah.
Like all of the old Shaman decks ran this card. Every Druid deck runs at least one.
Yeah, I'm really excited you brought this card up. One, because Standard is coming back, so normal cards or classic cards are going to be very important. Also, because this was one of the first cards we highlighted on the show. And we talked about how much we loved it then, and it's still so good now. It's so versatile. I mean, a body that draws a card and spell damage. There's so many decks want one or more of those things.
That's exactly right. Like, if you're going to tell anybody and everybody what card to craft in the neutral set, there's 3 cards that people are going to tell you to craft. Dr. Boom, Azure Drake, and Knife Juggler. Those are your best 3 cards in the classic and Goblins vs. Gnome set you can craft.
Yeah.
So, Azure Drake is, honestly... just powerful enough that I can see them taking away this card. I believe that this is actually limiting a lot of what Blizzard has to do with a lot of decks. Like, if you're seeing one card like this, similar to... how would I put this? It's Piloted Shredder. Piloted Shredder is like this card, but I believe that there's so many other competing 5-drops that are just as good, like Lotheb and Sludge Belcher and Anti-Keelbot, that when Sludge Belcher and Anti-Keelbot are removed, this card will find its place in every single deck unless they replace it with either a really, really good card or they nerf this one a little bit, whether it be +1 spell damage only or draw 1 card only. I think if it was just draw a card or just spell damage, nobody would play this card. But because it has both, it's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy when you look at it, because... you look at other cards that are drawing, or other minions that are drawing you cards, and like you take a one mana penalty or something. This just has so much on it. You're only losing
one mana basically. Yeah.
Yeah. To draw a card and get 1 spell damage, crazy. Mm-hmm.
Now there's only one other card in the game that does anything like this. Do you know what that is? It's a legendary.
No. Oh, it's the skeleton dude.
Bloodmage Thalnos.
There you go.
The only difference is a death rattle versus a battle cry.
Yeah, which battle cry is just straight up better.
And they punished him a little bit more because you can play him earlier is actually an advantage. So they nerfed his stats all the way down to 1/1. So, yeah. But he is really good. Like playing him on turn 5 in Fan of Knives with him with a rogue is just ridiculous.
Yeah, and the big thing for me on this one too is for all the spell damage minions... there aren't really many minions with bodies that you want. Like, there are a lot of them are like the 1/4 or the 2/6. Like, this is, a 4/4 is a good body. I'm happy to have that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, all right. So, you're predicting big things for him?
I think either Azure Drake will be played... like, okay, there's like 3 alternatives, right? They're either going to nerf the card and it's not going to see like anything. I don't think if you nerf this card at all, it's going to be completely unworth your while.
Yeah.
The second thing is they're going to have to increase the power level like they did with Nax and Goblins versus Gnomes to give you other competing slots to make it worth your while to include at minimum one of these instead of two.
Yeah.
Or aggressive decks will start reigning supreme again. And then the third alternative would be that the card just reigns and it's just always in all the mid-range and control decks and everybody loves this card.
So. Yeah, which I think they really don't want in a classic card, because that just means it will be there forever.
Yeah, again, going back to our original discussion, Josh, it's a neutral card.
Yeah.
Like, the goal of the game is to preserve the soul of the cards with the basic and classic sets to preserve the identity of each of the classes, not to give them an additional tool that's really good for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, that's what all of the other cards are supposed to
be. Yeah, because the whole point of splitting Standard and Wild is to make sure that that doesn't happen, that the decks are constantly changing over time.
Right. We need a subpar or a medium tool that is always a fallback if you don't have the optimum card in the classic set.
Yeah. All right, so this will be interesting. It'll be cool to see what they do with that. Any last thoughts on Azure Drake before we close out?
Get it.
Get it. There you go. Draft that thing. All right, so we're going to have full show notes with links to everybody we talked about, all the shows, all the streams, all that sort of stuff, sorted in the categories that Rob put together super helpfully. In our show notes, just go to gamediplomat.com, click Hearthstone at the top, you'll find it right away. As always, we'd love to know what you thought of the show, what you'd like to see added in future episodes. You can find us on Google+, Happy Hearthstone. On Twitter, I'm @JAugustine. Or you can email me directly, ajosh@outlook.com. Or comment on the blog, gamediplomat.com. And if you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us. More info at gamediplomat.com/donate. Rob, where can people find you, buddy?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at notrob. Very simple. I have a design photography portfolio on Facebook, so I do photography in the middle eastern section of the United States, around Indiana, Ohio, Chicago, Michigan area. Yeah, so that's at Not Rob Media on Facebook. And then you can find it, just Google search Velen's Chosen Podcast and you will find it, I promise. The only weird thing is the Twitch, so if you want to find the live shows, it's twitch.tv/notrobmay.
Awesome. So we'll put links to all that as well in the show notes. You can find Velen's Chosen and check that out. And I'll be sending that directly to my brother, too, so he can get better.
Yeah, sure. That'd be great.
Cool. So, Rob, thanks for the awesome suggestion and coming on and sharing your apparently infinite wisdom of podcasts and streams with us. That was awesome.
Yeah, I've also linked a article that I wrote on Vicious Syndicate in the show notes for you guys to enjoy that talks a little bit more in-depth about each show and just the importance of podcasting specifically.
Very cool. Awesome. So we'll link to that as well. So thanks again, Rob. It is great. And thanks again to everyone else listening for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you next time.
See you later. Keep going, we're almost to the border, we can escape, and then I can change my flag. So I was like, if we win, I'll go South Korea, if we win.
Really. And did you win?
No. So
you
bad.
Let North Korea win?
I was really bad. I was North Korea, I'm always winning.
I mean, Rob, it's fine to lose, but not when you have the fate of thousands of people. Maybe the world. I mean, are you letting them get nukes? Are we going to get nuked by North Korea now, Rob? Because you can't play a decent game of Rocket League?
You'll never know with my sombrero.
Yeah, you're real incognito over there.
The only thing I wish is I could put a mustache on my car.
Would you put like a giant mustache, like the twirly? You'd probably do the evil mustache, huh? You're like letting North Korea win, twirling your little car mustache.
I would get the Hitler mustache with the North Korea flag.
Wow!
Man. Just gotta go full immersion, man.
Oh my gosh.
They actually have like Mad Max stuff in there now, like cars and stuff. It's really
Oh,
fun.
Do they?
Yeah, it's really, they have some really neat stuff in the game now.